We're going to continue our study through Genesis chapter 13. We'll be looking at the second half of the chapter, looking at verses 10 to 18. And this week, the aim is to finish the chapter 13, looking at those verses and in a message entitled, Where Your Heart Is, That Is Your Treasure. Last week, we introduced the fact that God's word is to be practical, is to be applicable to every aspect of our lives. And as you get into God's word and study it for yourselves, there must be an application aspect. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, no need to have the word in your head and not use it. It's supposed to go from your head to your heart, to your hands, to your feet. Has to be practical in every aspect of our lives. I've been through various types of education in my life, and one of the things I used to do before I came in the ministry, I was in the medical field. And the medical field, there's two aspects of education. There's a didactic, and there's what we call clinical. Two aspects. What are those fancy words? I'll tell you. Didactic is the academic preparation, the classroom work. There's a lot of preparation in the classroom that you need to know for the medical field, okay? Especially the human body and things like that. Maybe there are certain things, procedures that you need to know behind, and you need to know the theory behind that. But to me, the most important part is that of the clinical aspect, when you work with the patients. I had classmates that were really sharp. I had classmates that were 4.0. But when we put them in the clinic, they just froze. Oh, he's bleeding. Well, yeah, it happens. Oh, they have a broken bone. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, there's something oozing from his body. Yeah, we're in a hospital. Oh, I have to change the diaper. Yes. Yes, yes, that's part of it. If you can't do the clinical, the rest doesn't cut it. One of the girls in my program, she's sharp. She's smart. And I used to be a radiation therapist. And she was treating a patient, and she swung the patient into the machine. She almost cut the arm off of the patient, and that sent her to oblivion. I remember we're in class, we're saying, hey, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? Oh, she got kicked out of the program. I go, what? How'd she get kicked out? She's so smart. Not so smart in the clinic. So the same applies to us as Christians. We can have all this head knowledge of the word of God. You can recite all kinds of verses, but if you can't apply it in your life, then it's really for naught. Learn how to apply it into your life. Our life in Christ is to be about pleasing the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's about a perspective that is not set on self or this world, but is a view that is set on the Lord, his will, and his kingdom. In Luke 6:45, it tells us the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from which fills his heart. And then the word says in Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question is for us, where is our heart tonight before the Lord? Am I fully given over to Jesus? What's my life's focus? Is my mind set upon the cares of the world, the worries of life and the flesh, or the faithfulness of Christ Jesus the Lord? Which one is it? It can't be a mix of both. It has to be one or the other. Either you serve me, the Lord says, or either you don't serve me. The heart leads one's actions. It leads one's thoughts and words. As Pastor Bill mentioned this morning, the goal is to have an intimacy with God by having a spirit awakened by the Holy Spirit. This is a heart thing. The walk is a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's a walk thing. There's a little thing I tell our students. Hey, high schoolers, do you know that you can miss heaven by 18 inches? That's about the length from the middle of your head to your heart. You can have all the knowledge about Christ in your head and think you know him, but you don't know him because it's not here. This is what counts. The heart is what counts. So we need to check our heart. The Bible characters that we're going to be focusing on tonight is Abram, the father of a multitude, the father of the faith, and Lot. And Lot's name means a covering and a veil. And it's interesting because Lot, we will discover that his heart is veiled by the allurements and the enticements of the world. How many of us get into that sometimes? Our heart is veiled by the cares, the riches, the things of the world, as opposed to casting our sight on the Lord in eternity. It's hard. Especially, you know, now, it's really hard in light of the economics of things. The other day, I opened up my property tax bill. I hate it. I always hate these notices, you know, from the government, right? So, property assessment, you know. I say, what is this? I open it up, and it's a bill. And I go, oh, my goodness, my property tax increased 2 times. Yikes! Now, when I talk to other people, like my parents in California, they go, oh, you guys' property tax is cheap. I say, it's a perspective, Dad. Yeah, but we pay $10,000 a year. How much you pay? $3,500? That's nothing. That's peanuts. I need some more peanuts. Dad, give me more peanuts, Dad. Again, what's our focus? Is it the Lord? And understanding God will take care of us, and understanding that it may be a surprise for us, but not the Lord, because he knows all things. He sees the beginning and end. He sees us when we're in our mother's womb, and he sees us when we popped out, and he'll see us when we die, and he calls us home. God is in control. God is sovereign. We discover Lot's heart, again, is veiled. And in this, we'll look at Abram's heart, and we'll look at Lot's heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Last week we talked about Abram. He made his heart right with God after his goofy actions in Egypt. He was a goof, big time. Guys, not recommended. Hey, babe, tell them you're my sister, okay? Because if you don't tell them you're my sister, they will take my life. Well, what do you think they did to her? Come into my harem, you beautiful one. No telling what goes on in the harem, right? She was probably forced to parade around, right, in little scantily stuff. And it degraded her, probably. It humiliated her. But she yielded herself to her husband. She yielded herself to God and trusted God. And God got her out of it. Because Pharaoh came back to Abram and said, hey, what are you doing, man? Why didn't you say this to your sister? And Abram goes, well, it actually is. It's my half-sister. But it's your wife, moron. It's your wife. Why did you say this to me? And now all of us are paying the price for it. All of us are paying the price. Be careful what you do. We'll see this later on with Lot. He made a terrible decision, and it affected everybody in his life. Everybody. Is our heart more like Abram, or is our heart more like Lot? Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the tests? We have to have those times before the Lord. Like Pastor Bill was talking about this morning, as he goes into the Word, and sometimes God's Word that reaches out, you know, and says, you, this is you. And you say, I'm the man. I'm the guilty party. Is that driving you to your knees? Is that driving to a place of change and repentance and crying out to the Lord? Lord, help me, please. Help me. Help me and save me from myself, lest I be destroyed, lest I be totally out of your will. In testing his heart, Abram understood he sinned against his wife, Sarai, against the Pharaoh of Egypt, and ultimately against God, as he lied about Sarah being his sister. Psalms 51:4 says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. See, the psalmist was saying this to God. God, I sinned. I sinned against no other but you ultimately. Sometimes we think we do our wives harm, or we do our kids harm, or we do our coworkers harm. Really, ultimately we're sinning against God. And we really need to watch our steps. Abram's sin led him to repentance and a changed perspective on life. Soon after, Abram made his heart right before the Lord. And as he made his heart right before the Lord, we see all kinds of mess happen through his nephew Lot. It says, now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents, and the land could not support both of them while living together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. Verse 7 in 13, chapter 13. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land at the time. So in verse 7, we see that there was a schism between the herdsmen of Lot and Abram. Now notice, they weren't just by themselves, but there were some other guys involved here. The Canaanites and the Perizzites, they were dwelling in the same land. We got to remember, in the midst of infighting, people are looking on. How many of you guys are married? How many of you have children? How many of you guys get into it, you know, with the spouse? And the kids are there. Oh, Mom, Dad, don't you love each other? You know, all this stuff. Be careful. Be careful. How many of you guys are Christians at work? There's you and another person in Christ at work, and you get into it. And other people say, hey, I thought you guys are Christians. Hey, we're not perfect. Hey, well, I thought you're supposed to love each other. Isn't it interesting how the world, they have the right word sometimes, and God uses them to convict us? Pretty sad. It tells us that a Christian must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that they will not fall into disgrace in the snare of the devil. Watch out. Watch out. So Abram comes out to his nephew Lot. He goes, wait. This can't happen. We are brothers. We are from the same family and the same lineage. We should not be having this petty disagreement. I tell you what, is not this land before you? Take your pick. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. See, Abram humbled himself. He made himself the lesser than Lot. He made the choice to do God's will as opposed to being in the flesh. The Word of God tells us God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we need to eat humble pie and allow people to think that they won other than being on top all the time. It's just a Christian thing to do. Abram could have said, you ungrateful, spoiled brat, tag along. I'm your uncle, and you need to respect me and yield to my will. Did he do that? No, he didn't. Abram's heart was touched by the Lord. It was no longer about his will, but about doing God's will. He humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. Lot, no more strife, okay? It's best that we separate from each other. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Sometimes we need to eat humble pie. You know, a lot of times you feel like you're compromising. Well, you're not compromising. You're doing what God's called you to do. Look out for the interests of others as opposed to looking out the interests of yourself. Well, I'm tired of being trampled on, okay? I'm tired of it. Oh, well. You think it was any better for Christ? We have to follow his example. We're called to follow his example. No student is above their teacher. He's the ultimate example of eating humble pie. He created the whole world, but yet they came against him in force. Who do you want? Barabbas! Huh? You took the criminal of all criminals? And what did Jesus do? He yielded himself. Are we apt to follow Abram's example, or do we continue to push our own agenda, being a troublemaker, or an instigator like Lot was. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the same spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Follow Jesus' example. That's what we're called to do. Before, when I used to do marriage counseling, right? The two shall become one. Totally different individuals. So I used to take like a yellow clay and a blue clay. Yellow and blue make what? Very good. So I take the pieces of clay and I'll throw them together, right? And in the middle, it's a little green, but they're still whole. Then I would mush them together, right? Now, does it turn green instantly? No, it takes time. How many of you guys are married? Doesn't it feel like that? Yeah, it's her fault. No, it's not your fault. Huh. Who's that? The spirit's moving through the iPad. It's getting needed, right? Hey, guys, your wife is a mirror of you. Plain and simple. Your wife is a mirror of you. Is she smiling and happy all the time? You must be doing something good. It's the grace of God. If she's like, you know, what are you doing? It's like the story said, one guy goes, how was your wife before you married her? Oh, she was so nice and kind and loving. What did you do to her? What did you do? We can mess things up, can't we? We certainly can. Learning to yield to others and forsaking self is a key. Leviticus says, you shall not take vengeance, nor hold any grudge against your sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So here we get through this, and Abram is encouraging his nephew. Come on, man. If you take the right, I'll go left. If you take the left, I'll go right. And so Lot's at a crossroad of making a decision. So we see in verse 10 that he raises his eyes and he saw all the vicinity of the Jordan and it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt going toward Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the vicinity of the Jordan and Lot journeyed eastward, so they separated from each other. So Lot lifts up his eyes. He says, wow. All of this is so beautiful, and I want it for me. He allowed the flesh. He allowed his desire to carry him to the land of self and the land of the temporal. How many times do we see things that go, yeah, that's nice, right? Like I tell the young people, I say, hey, just because a girl looks like a babe doesn't mean she is, you know? Have you ever seen those little things on the internet where they show these movie stars are all caked up and they show them without the makeup? Yikes! Right? Man, no wonder you own your own makeup line. You know, when I was in college, I knew a lot of girls and things, and they were cute and stuff, but boy, they have some foul mouths. Disgusting. Or to be spoken, wow, that's really appealing, right? And if you smoke, I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything about you. Hopefully you're not cussing or anything. That's foul. Ooh, check out that babe. Hey, whoa. She cussed me out. It's messed up. Don't fall prey to your eyes. Your eyes are tricky. Your eyes can trick you. When I was in my 20s, I could barely see. I had great eyesight at one time. Now I take my glasses off and I go, it's a blur. If I lose these, I'm in trouble. Like in the morning, I get up and my wife goes, what are you looking for? My socks. I said, can you help me? She goes, look. I said, babe, I have my glasses on. Why'd you leave them downstairs? So don't have to mess with them. Well, open your eyes. So my eyes are really fuzzy. I went to the doctor, and he was looking at me. He goes, hey, have you taken anabolic steroids? I said, no. He goes, you have cataracts. I was in my 20s, early 20s, about 24 or something. I said, huh? You know what a cataract is? I said, yes, I'm very familiar with a cataract is. He says, you have cataracts. I need to send you to the other room and watch this video. So I walk in the room, and all these old people are there.
Hey, brah, what's going on? Oh, poor thing. You're so young, you get one blind. Blind bat, right?
Now I'm older and I have glaucoma. So the doctor says, you've lost some eyesight. I said, I have? Yes. And he, like, you know, when you look at a doctor and they're scared, it's time to change doctors. You know, it's like, dude, you're not displaying to me the confidence. One thing you don't want to hear in the hospital or the clinic is oops. Not that he said oops, he was just really concerned and things. So watch the eyes. It says the eye is not satisfied with seeing. The eye is the lamp of the body. Be careful. If your heart is not right before the Lord, you are unable to discern between the true value and the frivolous pursuits. Again, our desire is to be the hidden person of the heart, not the cosmetic trappings of the temporal. Lot selected what was pleasing to his being. Beautiful, lush, fantastic, as he was mesmerized what he cast his eyes upon. He was a carnal man, driven by, again, the temporal as opposed to the eternal. Now, isn't it interesting that says, he saw this before the Sodom and Gomorrah incident. See, the Bible gives us the full context. He didn't have the context at the time, so he just gazed upon something. It's nice. And it turns out to bite him later. Materialism and pride. Watch it. I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in a Filipino-American household. And it served as a facilitator of pride and selfishness. Cultural upbringing, money, 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 prestige, 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 status was a big thing, big push. So part of that, the facilitator of that was education, was a vehicle to help that, those areas of getting money, status, and prestige, really about the pride. Climbing the ladder of success, title and position. In the workplace, even though I was in the medical field, it was a dog-eat-dog world. People were stepping on top of one another to get ahead. I was guilty of that. I remember going in for a job interview for a promotion, and one of the guys go, it will take a lot more hours than you work now. I said, I'll do it. Not even thinking about my wife, not even thinking about, did we have kids at that time? No, we didn't. I said, I'll do it. All for the title. Big deal. Is it worth it? All for the extra $1,000. Is it worth it? Well, the Lord didn't let it happen, so it wasn't worth it. I remember when my wife and I were in college, my future wife, and we happened to go out with a group of other young adults. And the conversation ended up with talking about what we were studying in college. You know, everybody went around, what are you studying? What are you going to be? You know, business major, business. So it came to me, they go, hey, what's your major? I try to impress them. Radiation oncology technology. Wow. One person, wow, you're going to be an x-ray tech? Hey, don't insult me. That's not an x-ray tech, all right? Okay? It's a radiation therapist. Totally different thing, all right? Okay. Then this one girl goes, wow, I go to the hospital. Maybe I'll see you there. I wasn't very tactful. I said, well, if you see me, You don't want to see me at the hospital, okay? If you do, you have cancer. I don't think you want to see me there. It's all pride. Pride. My dad so wanted me to be an engineer. Be an engineer. I said, I don't want to drive Thomas the train. Dad, come on. No, it's good. Good to be an engineer or a doctor. He said, nah, not me. I got to do what I want to do. I didn't know I wanted to do what God called me to do because I didn't recognize God at the time. Material goods, accomplishments, those that you associated with, those are pride builders. Young men, any high school age guys, 20, you know, what's the biggest, you know, thing that helps your pride? Your automobile, right? You know, when I was at that age, an automobile, did I pick a Pacer? Is everybody, who knows what an AMC Pacer is, right? The big bubble car with huge windows. Actually, you know, a few years ago, I have a friend that owns a hot rod shop. He was restoring a Pacer, sort of like a turquoise green Pacer. I said, what is that? He goes, Ed, those things are in popularity. I said, this is ugly. It's the bubble mobile. Or even worse, one gremlin. Anybody remember what a gremlin was? Nah, get a real car, like a 409 Chevrolet Impala SS. Yeah, 40, 40, 409. Yeah, they made a song after. Yeah, you know, not no little weak car. Gremlin. No, no. I used to tell the kids in the school, Pastor Ed, what do you drive? A Honda. I'm in sin. Why am I a Chevy Impala? You know, my wife says, come on, when are you going to get that thing fixed? It's just taking rust, right? You know when it gets sunbathed in Hawaii and now it's got a white top instead of the real color? It's bleached out. Sad. What's another thing in that gets you in pride, like when you're a kid? Athletics, right? What sport do you play? Pickleball. You know, back in my day, right, no guy would say cheerleading. But I guess cheerleading is big now for guys with scholarships and stuff. Sorry. Sorry, I have scruples. More like, football! Yeah! Believe it or not, I used to be into weightlifting. My kids at school say, Pastor Ed, what was your max? What was your max weight? I told them, 10 pounds. 10 pounds times 40. Then they start like, huh? Can you do it now? No. 10 pounds. Okay. 10 pounds. Pride. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Be humble. Seek to please God. Seek to have a heart after the Lord and his will. Seek to please him by obeying his word. Lot had a love for the things of the world. He wasn't spiritual. He was carnal in the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If our objective is the world, then pleasing God is far from us. You can't have two things. You can't have it both. You got to either be for Christ or against him. You can't have both. So what are some indicators of being worldly? According to this verse that we read in 1 John, we see it's the lust, a longing for, a craving, a desire for what is forbidden. The lust of the flesh, carnal things, being carnally minded. If you're carnally minded, you can't be spiritually minded. The lust of the eyes. Again, the eyes can never be quenched. Now, if your right eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, is it saying go pop your eye out? No, it's a hard thing. Actually, when our church was downtown, we had some pretty gnarly guys. And there was one guy, he had a glass eye. And he told me, "You know, Ed, you know, I did this. My eye, I had a problem looking at the girls. Just looking. So I took a spoon and I popped it out." I said, "Wow, that's gutsy. Did it help you?" "No, I look with the other eye." It's pretty drastic, right? But sometimes, you know, just because it's drastic doesn't mean there's going to be a change. I remember when they told me I had cataracts and I was really upset. And I go, "Lord, if I can't read your word, Lord, I'm nothing." So I said, "I'm going to memorize your word. I'm going to try to memorize it." And I got lazy. And then they put these little artificial lenses in there. And now I'm good. Well, I'm not that good now. But I was good back in the day, you know, when it was fresh. Again, it's a heart issue. The boastful pride of life. Just as it's written, "Let one who boasts boast in the Lord." Don't boast in anything else. Who cares you get cards? Who cares you get position? Who cares this, that, or the other? If it's not about Jesus, it just deserves to be thrown on the fire. "But far it be from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Naked you come into the world, naked you will leave. Nothing that we accumulate, okay? And I'm not saying getting good stuff or quality stuff is sinful, but again, what's ruling what? Is it ruling over you or are you ruling over the item? Is it enhancing your walk and giving praise to God, or is it getting your eyes off the Lord? So easy to be materialistic, isn't it? God's word says, "But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment." We need to be content and satisfied. How much is enough? When you're content with what the Lord has given you. More, 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 more. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also." Again, going back to Lot. His heart was looking at the things that were not going to last, the things that would rust, the things that could be broken, the things that could be stolen. "No one can serve two masters, for neither he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and wealth. Don't try it. It'll destroy you. You remember the guys that said, "Hey, I'm going to build bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns," and then he went make and couldn't enjoy anything. Be careful. This world is temporary. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Ever. Now, Abram, it says here, he released Lot to himself. And Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the vicinity of the Jordan and moved his tents as far as Sodom. And now when the men of Sodom were exceedingly evil and wicked against the Lord, boy, these Sodomite guys were evil. But did Lot give notice of that? No, he didn't know about any of that until he started to live there and he made the choice. I talked about this last week, but the choices we make today will affect our tomorrow. We can either make a choice toward Jesus or we can make a choice against him. It'll affect our tomorrow. Detrimental choices. Your sins affect other people. Now, look at Lot, the decision he made when he lifted up his eyes. He says, "I want that place." Chapter 14, we see Lot is caught in the middle of a war between the kings, and he was kidnapped. Okay? This caused Abram to execute a rescue mission to save his nephew. So it affected Abram. The angels came to visit Lot. And the men of the city desired to know the angels physically. right? Woke culture would say, accept them. No way, okay? God loves the people, he hates the sin. So these guys, they wanted to molest these angels. And what did Lot do? Hey, don't do it. I'll give you my daughters. What a chumpus. So his daughters paid the price. Hey, man, take my daughters and rape them and have your fill. Thanks, Dad. And then as they're escaping we see Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. What was Lot's wife's name? Anybody know? Salty. They told, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. What'd she do? So she was just as worldly as her husband. And she paid the price. I don't know, I'd be dying if something happened to my wife. Babe, don't look back, you'll turn to salt. And then, get this, in the end, when they escape, Lot's daughters just get daddy drunk so we can have offspring. Are you kidding? This is my argument against drinking when you go out for dates and stuff. Girls, if a guy says, hey, this will warm you up, tell him, okay, I'll take the bottle. Close your eyes. Rakata! I'm sorry. It's supposed to be G-rated. Is this what you teach in your school? So Lot, being drunk, impregnates both of his daughters. How's that? All because of the decision that he made by looking upon with his eyes and choosing the better place. What a mess. What a mess. Be careful. Be careful what you wish for. You might get it. Our prayer should be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. The importance of seeking the Lord through word and prayer. We need to do that. We can't go off our gut instinct. Or it feels good. It feels so good. It looks good. Let's do it. Get you in trouble. Now, if the Lord so clothed the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things are what the nations of the world eagerly seek. And your Father knows what you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts that do not wear out, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor does a moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, Lot messed up. And everybody in his family that was in close relation to him paid the price. Meanwhile, Abram, he settled in Canaan, the promised land, the place which God called him to, and where the altar of the Lord was at. He was content. And let's see now what goes on with Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, and all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed forever. Wow. Abram got the better deal. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. He humbled himself, and God blessed him. He took the lesser part, and God blessed him. He said, hey, go here, and he went the other place, and God blessed him in a big way. He gives him this place as far as he can see. That'd be like if we took you at the top of Machakilo, as far as you can see. You own this, you own that. I own Diamond Head? Yeah, I think I'll forsake Waianae, if you guys are from there. Sorry. Right? You see everything. Oh, I own that. Oh, yeah. You see everything. You take it all. And then God said, I will make your descendants as plentiful as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be counted. Arise and walk about in the land through its length and width, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and lived by the oaks of the Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Pastor Bill's verse that he opened up with this morning, he says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what the hope of his calling, that are the riches of glory in his inheritance in the saints. You know what? You might think yourself poor, but if you're in Christ, you are rich. You might think yourself as lacking, but if you're in Christ, hey, you have eternal life and no one can take that away from you. This is the worst hell you will ever live, because after this life, you'll be in glory with the Lord. Doesn't that comfort you? I want it now. I want it now. Okay, well, sorry. God fulfilled his promise to Abram. God gave him a legacy, something that was eternal and something of value. You remember when you were a kid in Sunday school and they'd say, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right hand, remember that? We're part of that lineage. It's like dust, right? I mean, you guys dust the house. If you could count all those dust, that's the descendants of Abraham. So great. Actually, the patriarchs came from Abraham. What a great legacy. It's better to have a legacy in the things of Christ than junk that's piled up. Did you hear the story about this man? He owned all kinds of classic cars. And they were in warehouses and barns and stuff. And they sold. He had over over 100 classic cars that he had, all rusted up. But boy, they got a big cash cow. It was a cash cow, but it was all temporal, all temporal. I'd rather have eternal things. As we wrap it up, we see Abram built altars to the Lord. Now, what was an altar? The altar was a place of worship, recognizing God did a great thing. It served as a memorial stone. It served as a reminder that God was good and God is good and God's promises are true. So we see here at the end that he built another altar. He was an altar builder, recognizing God. I tell our students, hey, is your life slanted toward the Lord? We're not perfect. But as long as your life is slanted more toward the Lord than the Word, and in His Word than the world, you're okay. Our life has to be slanted toward Christ. Now, Lot, what did he do? He built a tribute to himself. Nowhere do we see him reach out to God, seek God's wisdom, or fulfill God's call. Nowhere. He was caught up in fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Boy, Lot, if you did a summary of Lot's life, it's bad juju, isn't it? I hope we're not like Lot. It's a lot of headache. That's what it is. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that your word is true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And we pray tonight, if you challenged us, and we know that you did, because your word comes forth in truth, Lord, that we would come boldly before your throne of grace, asking you to purge us, asking you to break up that fallow ground, asking you, God, to refresh us after your will, after your way, that we be pleasing, God, that we would not be named in the category of Lot, but we would be named in the category of Abram, the father of the faith. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you so much that you love us, that you give us your word and how we're to live. Bless us all tonight. In Jesus' name we say. Amen.